Good morning, I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. A much beloved event for locals and visitors is the Fisher Poets Gathering, which happens each year in Astoria during the last weekend of February. This year is the 29th annual gathering, and you'll be hearing a lot more about that as we get closer to the actual event. KMUN will also be broadcasting it live for folks who can't attend in person. There are a lot of extraordinary things about the Fisher Poets Gathering. And one of them is that a cowboy poet from Arkansas has been part of it for 19 years, reciting poetry, teaching workshops, emceeing, and providing a bridge between land and sea cultures in surprising ways. Ron McDaniel is a good friend to many in Astoria and beyond, and he's an essential part of Fisher Poets Gathering. Today, we're going to learn more about him and how this all came to be. Ron's joining us today from his home in Arkansas. He'll be here in Astoria later this month, of course, for Fisher Poets. Before I bring him on, let me read a little something, some things that have been written about him to help put things into context. Although Ron McDaniel is not a commercial fisherman, he's eaten more wild salmon than any bow-legged man alive. I think that came from Ron. Ron lives in Northwest Arkansas. He's a husband and father of three kids. They have a few horses. They graze some calves in order to maintain their debtor relationship with the bank. Ron recently retired after dedicating more than 37 years to the Merck Animal Health Equine Team. He built bridges among veterinarians, technicians, distributors, corporate partners, focused on what mattered most, which is the horse. His signature mustache, quick wit, and cowboy poetry made him a beloved presence at industry events and trade shows. And in 2024, the American Association of Equine Veterinary Technicians and Assistants honored Ron with the prestigious Deb Reeder Innovation Award, citing his uncanny ability to foster lasting human connections. And this last little bit, Ron has won the National Cowboy Poetry Rodeo, winning the Humorous Rising Star Division and Reciter Serious Silver Buckle Division. When Fisher Poets Gathering founder John Broderick and Mo Baustern met Ron at the Cowboy Poetry Gathering in Elko, Nevada almost two decades ago, I doubt they could have predicted then that Ron would become a cherished friend and a featured performer at Fisher Poets Gathering for 19 years. Welcome, Ron McDaniel.
Thank you, Donna, and such nice things that you said about me there. I almost feel like we should wrap the show now before I open my mouth and dispel some of those wonderful things. But I love being with you, and congratulations on such a lasting program, Talk of the Towns. I was listening to this years ago when I came to Astoria.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about how you came to Astoria, but before we do that, tell us a little bit about where you were raised, about your background. Have you always been, I don't even know if you were born in Arkansas or if that was a choice that you and your wife Nancy made.
Yeah, it was a choice that Nancy and I made. I was born in Missouri, and I did not grow up on a ranch. I had an uncle who farmed and ranched in Missouri, and I spent a summer with him when I was 13 years old, and I just happened to be one of those kids that figured out right then somehow I wanted to make my living in the livestock industry. And so I went to college, worked all kind of jobs on different ranches and sale barns. And then you read a little bit about what I spent my career doing. Nancy and I moved here to Northwest Arkansas 30 years ago. So we live 10 miles from a little town called Gravette, Arkansas. We're right in the corner where Missouri, Arkansas, and Oklahoma come together. We're at the western edge of the Ozarks, and most people think of cows and beef. They think of Texas, but actually there are a lot of cows in this part of the world. We live about an hour away from Joplin Regional Stockyards in Missouri, which is one of the largest sale barns in the country. And so it's been a blessing to be here for 30 years.
Wow. Okay. And then fishing. Did you have any experience with fishing before Fisher Poets? I mean, did you fish as a kid at all?
Yes, I fished farm ponds when I was a kid. Every kid loves to pull a bluegill or a brim, as they call them down south, loves to pull one out of the water. My only experiences on the ocean had been as a sport fisherman that paid money to go get seasick on a boat. It was a terrible experience for me. And so that was the closest thing to the ocean and fishing that I came. But if your listeners are not aware, there's a very big difference between sport fishing that you might do when you visit Florida and the kind of commercial fishing that brings great seafood to the plates when you and I eat at the restaurant or go to the grocery store.
Yes, that's so true, Ron. So this is a very serendipitous thing that happened. You went to Elko to the Fisher Poets, to the Cowboy Poets Gathering, which has been going on since 1985. So it's the 41st year this year of the Elko Cowboy Poets Gathering. So you and a friend went to Elko for the first time to the Cowboy Poets Gathering, and somehow you met John Broderick and Mo Bowstern, and then what happened?
So John and Mo and a woman named Joanna had been invited by the Cowboy Poetry Gathering as kind of a cross-cultural event. They invite people who also make their living outdoors and experience nature. So they were there representing commercial fishermen. And Mo Bowstern, who she just is a very curious person, likes to learn about all things new and old. And she introduced herself and was just asking questions about the cowboy culture. And we made friends. And then she heard me, a friend of mine put me into an open mic as a joke. I only had one poem memorized. I was not really a cowboy poet. We were there to listen. And I was in this open mic. And to make the story short, Mo and John invited me to come out to the 10th annual Fisher Poets Gathering because they said they'd never had a cowboy poet. And I accepted their kind offer, but clarified that if I did come to their 10th annual gathering, they could say at their 11th annual gathering, they've still never had a cowboy poet because I was just a regular guy. But they encouraged me and they said, we love to have fishermen and now cowboys who do the work and just tell the stories or poems about it. So that's how I wound up in Astoria 19 years ago.
Wow. Okay. What were your first impressions of Astoria and the world of commercial fishing? And then there was all the, you know, there's all the Fisher Poets Gathering and the fishing lingo. And so how was that for, you know, you from Arkansas to Astoria your first time?
My first impression actually came with some help. I asked Mo to send me some books. She'd actually written some zines. I read what I could about commercial fishing, and it was fascinating. I get to Astoria, and it was just incredible. For your listeners that have not been to Astoria, lots of history there. If you follow the Lewis and Clark expedition history, you can see that whole area is rich with our nation's history. But Astoria itself is the coolest town and just a terrific place to have something like the Fisher Poets Gathering. But for that weekend, it's all about commercial fishing. And I met men and women who risked their lives year after year so that I could eat salmon clear out in Arkansas.
Wow, yes. And you learned pretty quickly about the fact that the Fisher Poets Gathering was not at that time, and still is not. It wasn't the big slick thing like the Cowboy Poets Gathering. It was just this little sweet event that John Broderick and his wife Doreen and Jay Speakman and a whole bunch of other people helped with. And you got to know Dangerous Dave Densmore and all these cool people. So how did you perform that first year then? And how did that all go?
I did perform. They were kind enough to put me into a set. I wrote a couple of more poems because I'm genuine when I say I only had one poem that I'd ever memorized that I'd written for my daughter's wedding. And I wrote a couple more poems and they put me in there. But the event, as you mentioned, I'm not a good ambassador for the Cowboy Poetry Gathering because I've only been once. That was the only time I went when they invited me to Fisher Poets. And so I've spent every year going to Fisher Poets instead of the Cowboy Poetry Gathering. It has grown immensely. And as you said, It is a major production. It would cost you several hundred dollars just to get tickets, and you have to get them early to get into the venues to hear their events. And their poets, they're the real deal. They're cowboys and cowgirls, but they are very polished. The shows are incredibly professional. And not to say that Fisher Poets is not professional, but Fisher Poets has more of a real feel. It's more of an event that is very characteristic of what we love about America. The community volunteers, an incredible number of people in the Astoria area, donate their time, their efforts, their money to host this. And then commercial fishermen come from all over to either participate or to spectate. And it's the most incredible event I've ever been associated with.
There is a feeling of camaraderie. It's not slick and overproduced. It is genuine, authentic, real, like Astoria is. And I agree with you. I think Fisher Poets Gathering is just an exceptional thing. And the fact that you've been part of it is just adds to the the joy and the surprise and the extraordinariness of what happens there. You originally, I think you thought that, you know, gosh, fishermen and cowboys, they're pretty far apart, really. They're so different what they do. But then you wrote a poem because after you learned a little bit, you went up to Alaska to fish on John's boat. So before you read Not Too Far Apart, tell us a teeny bit about that.
When I first went to Fisher Poets Gathering and I asked Mo Baustern, hey, send me some books about commercial fishing. I knew nothing about it at all. This was before we had TV shows that gave you a peek into commercial fishing. And so I thought there was going to be this huge divide between cowboys and fishermen. And the more I read, the more I realized there are so many similarities. It's startling. As I got to know men and women who commercial fished each year at the Fisher Poets Gathering, I learned more and more about these similarities. I asked one of the fishermen who had his own boat, I was like, why do you see? I met several people that had been commercial fishing for decades that came from the Midwest, that grew up on farms. And I asked some of these fishermen, why do you think that is? And they said two things. They said, one, whether you're on the farm or on the ocean, when something breaks, you have to figure out how to fix it because nobody's going to show up with AAA insurance and fix it for you. You've got to fix it. The second thing is they said, if you understand diesels and hydraulics, you can farm or you can fish because they're used in both of those professions. And so I realized more and more that there were a lot of similarities, and that's what caused me to write this poem, Not Too Far Apart, that's kind of become my anthem when people are like, why is a cowboy at Fisher Poets Gathering?
I'd love you to read it to us, please.
I would love to. I wrote this at my first Fisher Poets Gathering, and it's still a hit today, called Not Too Far Apart. You prefer the ocean, the freedom of the sea. I prefer to always have dry land under me. For you, it is so natural, riding waves that roll and pitch, but only a caballo can satisfy my itch. Our diets are sometimes different. You may eat fish with saltines. Me, I often get by on cold biscuits and beans. Our clothes are also different, you might predict as well. Their function to protect us both from different kinds of hell. You wear boots made of rubber, good for dampness and wet weather. I prefer my boots be made entirely from leather. The clothes you don for work, Grundins, turtlenecks, and caps. We wear felt hats, wild rags, and leggings that some call chaps. You use strong lines to hold your nets. When filled, they cause resistance. I call my line a rope to catch a cow that needs assistance. We're misunderstood by many. That is one thing that we share. They ask us why we do it, this demanding life we bear. Well, it's sure not for the money, though we both keep on believing. If we just hold on till next year, we'll be lucky to break even. We both share Mother Nature for better or for worse. One day she smiles upon us, and the next she sends a curse, unleashing all her fury like she will do now and then. She shows no favoritism to cowboys or fishermen. We both sure are afflicted, this addiction we can't shake. Like tobacco and whiskey habits, our life is hard to break. Admit you've got a problem, many folks they would suggest. Who, us? We've got no problem, for we feel our life is the best. Whether sitting in the saddle or rolling with a wave, this is the life we chose. This is the life we crave. And just like you, most cowboys often gather at a bar. See, the distance in between us is really not that far. So you might expect this cowboy to make some hairy-chested boast, but to the fisher poets, I offer up this toast. We're not too far apart. It finally dawned on me, thanks to Mo and Joanna, the ladies of the sea. So order some beef liver or a steak, which is more mild, and I will order salmon, but only if it's wild.
Oh, love that. Thank you so much. And for those of you listening, it is my pleasure today on Talk of Our Towns to have Ron McDaniel. He is a cowboy poet who has been part of Fisher Poets Gathering for 19 years. And Fisher Poets is coming up at the end of this month. Ron is talking to us from his home in Arkansas. And Ron, your first visit to Alaska to fish on John Broderick's boat, what was surprising to you about that? Or what was, tell us a teeny bit about that, please.
It was probably one of the most unique events of my entire life. I had been invited by several of the Fisher poets to come taste their life and see what it was like. And so, 15 years ago, I took John Broderick up on the offer. He and his sons set net in the Bristol Bay up in Alaska. And so my son and I showed up for a week, and it was the most incredible experience. My son was just about to turn 13. He didn't realize it at the time, Donna, but he does now. He and I both got to experience what less than 1% of anybody has ever realized or experienced. The men and women that fish, we went out there. There is no tourism on an Alaska fishing boat. We both had to buy commercial crew licenses to even be allowed onto the boat. We fished out of skiffs. John and his sons are set netters. There's different kinds of equipment. And come to Fisher Poets, you'll learn more about the equipment. But you don't go on to joyride. You buy a commercial license and you take the risk. I know we flew into Dillingham and we were waiting for John to come in and pick us up at the marina. And while we were waiting, we visited the memorial. And it was a memorial to the men and women who had been lost out of at sea, out of that very marina, so that folks like you and I can go to a restaurant and have a great wild salmon for lunch or supper. And so it was an experience unlike any that we'd ever been a part of. And Donna, I got to tell you, I won't say I'm the hardest working cowboy or farmer, but far from it, but commercial fishing was the hardest work I've ever done in my life.
Yes, and dangerous. Oh my gosh. Yes, that's right. It is. It was hard. And yet, I don't know, there's a joy that these fishermen have. When I first went to Fisher Poets, Ron, I was amazed. Here are these, these rough, tough looking guys getting up on stage talking about how they miss their wife's geraniums on the windowsill, and how they're talking. And there's just such this toughness and this resilience, the Finnish sisu guts determination combined with a tenderness. you know, a tenderness, or like when Dave Densmore had to decide to cut his net and lose all his fish to save a whale. You know, I mean, it's truly phenomenal. And I think we have to really tip our hats here, whether it's a ball cap or a cowboy hat, to John Broderick and the crew for wanting to keep the prizes affordable, because I think you told me that he wanted every deckhand to be able to come and be part of this event.
I was amazed when, after I'd been for a few years, John and I became very dear friends, and there were so many people encouraging John to raise the prices. You basically buy a button when you get in town. You go to the Gear Shack, or you can go to one of the venues. You buy a button, and that button gets you into every venue all weekend long. And John told me of this pressure to raise prices. And I just told him, I said, John, you can't even park to go to a concert for what the cost of a button is here that gets you there for the whole weekend. But John made it very clear to me exactly what you said. He said that he wanted every deckhand that could make their way to Astoria, make it so that they could afford to celebrate the life of commercial fishing. And I was so impressed with that. The other thing that I haven't mentioned a lot that I would mention to you here, because I know you're interested in the parallels. People sometimes think of cowboys as an all-male profession. And I imagine people think of commercial fishing as an all-male profession. It's been very interesting to me. More and more we see women entering the professions of commercial fishing and ranching and cowboying. And I think that's another thing that has brought a unique openness, a unique vulnerability to the storytelling and the poems. And I think it opened the door for some of these men that you talked about to share some of the things that are very tender and very sensitive about what can be a very harsh and very, very tough profession to be in.
Yes, and I'm so glad you did bring that up, because it's not just fishermen, fisherwomen and ranchers, and things are shifting and changing in our world very rapidly. And I want to kind of ask how the creative ideas come to you, and you've taught classes. In fact, I took a class from you, a writing class. Gosh, I don't know, 15, two, how many years ago? I don't remember. But I was so impressed when you talked about how the hands of the cowboy and the fisherman were so indicated what they were doing with their lives. Could you just talk about that for a second? Because I love that.
I was able to meet an icon who's since passed, named Smitty Smith. And he and I were sitting together one day, and we were both looking at our hands. Smitty had been wrestling with some health challenges. And for me, as you mentioned, I used to travel the country selling medicine and vaccines to veterinarians. In the wintertime, I did less ranch work for the surrounding ranches than any other time of the year. And because Smitty had some health conditions and couldn't get into the shop to work on his boat or couldn't get on the ocean, and I hadn't been working on some ranches for a few months, our hands were healed up, and our wives were thrilled to see that our hands weren't cut and calloused and scraped. And we looked at it and we were a bit discouraged, because our hands, whether you're a cowboy or a fisherman, they tell the kind of work that you do. When our hands are scraped up and calloused and cut, it's a sign that we're doing what we'd really like to be doing. And that's another thing that was such a parallel. The hands of the cowboy and the fisherman, you wouldn't know one from the other if you just looked at the hands. They're the hands of working people that want to feed America, want to feed the world.
Yes, that's true. What is it that inspires you to write and to continue? You have not missed one Fisher Poets gathering. I mean, the cowboy poets really lost out, because they lost you and we got you, which is fantastic. But do you write on a regular basis, or do you kind of go, oh, Fisher Poets Gathering is coming up, I better write a few things? Or how does that work for you, the creative process?
The reason I will go to Fisher Poets every year until they station policemen at the outskirts of town to ban me from coming in is everything that I've done has been inspired by the Fisher Poets Gathering. Cowboy Poetry Gathering, they don't miss me because they never knew they had me. They haven't missed me a bit. Fisher Poets embraced me. They embraced this commonality of our professions. And it's workshops at the Fisher Poets every year, Donna, that inspire me to try and do more, to push myself, to write some things that I wouldn't have written before if I'd have just stayed here in Arkansas and done my own thing.
Wow. Gosh, Ron, we only have a couple minutes left. We could talk for so much longer, but in these last couple of minutes, what else would you like the listening audience to know about you or your profession or Fisher Poets Gathering or just anything that you comes to mind, Ron?
Yeah, thank you. Nothing else about me, but a lot about the Fisher Poets Gathering. What John Broderick and Jay Speakman, Doreen, and their entire committee have done is they've created an event that celebrates the life of the commercial fishermen, the men and women who fish. And it's the most unique event that you can attend. It's in a small town America that's rich with history and rich with people who want to celebrate with those commercial fishermen. So if you can attend in person, I would encourage you to make plans now. Otherwise, listen in on KMUN. And they didn't ask me to say this, but they've been a great partner since the day I walked into town 19 years ago. And that's a great way, if you can't get on an airplane, you can listen to the Fisher Poets Gathering thanks to KMUN broadcasting live. It'll be the last weekend of February, the last 3 days, I think, of February. And so you can get more information by checking on the Fisher Poets Gathering website or check in with KMUN.
Ron, thank you so much. Gosh, has Nancy, we only have a minute here, but has Nancy ever been out here to see you read, your wife from Arkansas?
That has been the joke. They don't even think I'm actually married. They think she's a fictitious character, but she came out and she's met John and Doreen and Pat Dixon. The 1 year we'd planned for her to come, we had a massive snowstorm and I left her here with kids and cattle and horses to take care of while I was out playing in Astoria. So somebody's got to stay home and take care of the place.
Okay. Well, thanks, Nancy, for allowing us to have Ron. And thank you so much, Ron, for, you know, again, bridging cultures. We're not too far apart. And we focus on the things that are heart-led. And you certainly do that. And that's one of the reasons you're such a beloved figure at Fisher Poets and beyond all that. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
And I want to express my gratitude to Viri for doing the engineering today. Thank you so much. And also so thankful for local talented banjo instructor Michael Brunn for his original theme music for this program.
This program comes in part from Our Coast Weekend, your source for arts and entertainment news in the Columbia Pacific. Published weekly in the Wednesday Chinook Observer, the Thursday Astorian, and online at discoverourcoast.com.
You just listened to Talk of Our Towns on KMUN. Up next at 9:30, A Story Told with Michael McCusker. The Ezra Klein Show begins at noon. You're listening to KMUN.